Biden continues to embarrass America, and the January 6th committee wants millions more from us? Hey, it's The Chicks from the Chicks on the Right podcast. Download and subscribe to our daily podcast to hear us pick apart and pick on the news of the day. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to visit my website at www.sarahacarter.com for my latest reporting and stories. And guys, while you're there, be sure to subscribe to my email list so that you don't get shadow banned. I have been waiting for this for a very long time. I have known Lieutenant General Michael Flynn for many, many years, even way back. I think we met at the very beginning of the Obama administration when I was covering the U.S.-Mexico border, mainly the drug cartels and their ongoing battles inside Mexico. Lieutenant General Flynn has been through a lot. He and his family, our nation, have been through a lot. We, from the, I guess, going all the way back to the Russia hoax, the failed FBI investigation and lies into President Donald Trump. We all know that now. Christopher Steele, John Brennan. But people's lives were shattered. People's lives were shattered and had to rebuild their lives. And people like Lieutenant General Michael Flynn had to fight through the court system for over 4 years with the Department of Justice, which the pockets of the Department of Justice, the pockets of our federal government, run so deep. I'm not going to get into every question I want to get into with Lieutenant General Michael Flynn because so much has happened. I am going to be bringing him back on the show, but you are not going to want to miss this episode because we talk about our nation. We talk about his past with President Trump. We talk about where we are right now. We talk about the upcoming election, and we discuss what we are up against, our nation is up against right now. And I agree with him wholeheartedly. He is a patriot. He has served our nation with distinction. And I do believe we have enemies within and enemies without. And you are not going to want to miss this. Here is somebody that isn't afraid to speak up, somebody who has challenged our government, stood firm, and who succeeded, and somebody who is continuing, despite everything that has happened to him, fight for our nation. You are not going to want to miss this. Hey, everyone, please follow and subscribe. Get all the links at sarahacarter.com, sarahacarter.com. And while you are there, sign up for our email list so that you don't get shadow banned. Before I get to Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, and before I tell you why I'm here in the great state of Arizona, covering stories regarding the crisis at our U.S.-Mexico border, I want to tell you about MyPillow, another great company run by another great American patriot, Mike Lindell. MyPillow right now has the sale of the year. This is a sale of the year. It's been ongoing, and it's with the promo code Carter. Right now, you could get queen size, regular price. Listen to this. Sheets, the full set, the regular price is $89.98. Right now, you can get it for $39.98 with the promo code Carter. I want you to go to MyPillow.com/Carter. That's MyPillow.com/Carter or call 1-800-685-7221 for deep discounts on MyPillow Percal bed sheets. Queen size, regular $89.98, but right now with the promo code Carter, $39.98. You cannot beat that. While you're there, take advantage of the buy one, get one free sale on my pillows, towels, and so much more. Visit mypillow.com/Carter or call 1-800-685-7221 today for the sale of the year on MyPillow Percal bed sheets. mypillow.com/Carter or call 1-800-685-7221. Before I get to Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, who I consider a great friend and a true American patriot, somebody who has given his life for his nation, literally, and has been not only fighting enemies abroad, but had to fight enemies at home and has spent so much of his life doing that, despite everything that he's been up against. I want to talk to you a little bit about why I'm here in Nogales, in Arizona, because we have a crisis that is beyond our comprehension at the border. It is the reason why I'm working and I'm so excited to announce that we're going to be launching this week the Dark Wars podcast. And I want you all to follow, if you get an opportunity, on Twitter at Dark Wars Pod, that's P-O-D, or on Truth at Dark Wars Pod, P-O-D. Follow us there for all the latest updates, where we're going to take you deep into the heart of this darkness, of this border crisis. And we're going to expose the good, the bad, and the ugly of what's going on here with some of the world's top experts, as well as some of our nation's top experts. And I don't know if you've seen the news right now, but we have the new numbers for this fiscal year. And I'm going to ask General Flynn about this, but the new numbers for this fiscal year on encounters at the border are 2.7 million plus just this year, just this year. We're not even counting in the over a million that have gotten into the country, the gotaways. And I'm sure there's many more. This is a real crisis, folks. This is a crisis because it affects our national security. Imagine if all those people are getting in. Imagine the narcotics that are coming in. Imagine the bad guys that are coming in. The terrorists, 98 right now, 98 terrorists that were on the FBI's terror watch list, apprehended at the border. Imagine how many other bad guys are doing this. Imagine what is going on. Why is our administration, the Biden administration, doing this? Why are they allowing this to happen? By the way, those numbers represent a massive, more than 33% increase over the previous year's records, which were set once again by the Biden administration. I know I could talk forever about this, but I'm not going to, because you do not want to miss this interview with Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. And before I get there, I want to tell you a little bit about AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, a sponsor of this show and an organization that I believe in wholeheartedly. By joining AMAC, you are taking the first steps to saving the America that you love. AMAC offers an alternative to just about every benefit that AARP offers. But guess what? Without that liberal agenda, I stand with AMAC, and I hope that you will too. I encourage you to join today at amac.us/Carter. That's amac.us/Carter. The benefits of membership are great, but the cause is even greater. Join today at amac.us/Carter. I'm so pleased, and this is so exciting for me because I've been trying to get him on the show for a long time, but he is a busy man. And you all know who I'm talking about. It's Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. He served his country in the U.S. Army for 33 years before serving as a national security advisor under President Trump. We all know what happened under President Trump, at least I think for the most part, our listeners, General, and all of you out there. He also served as the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. He's the author of The Field of Fight, How We Can Win the Global War Against Radical Islam and Its Allies, and A Letter to America. You wrote that book in conjunction with my very, very good friend, Michael Ledeen. And General, thank you so much for being on this show, Mike. It's an honor to have you on the show. I see you as a true patriot and someone who's really stood up against some very fierce and vicious attacks by people within our own government. And my heart breaks for you because I know I can only imagine what you have been through. I know what we've seen and witnessed and written about. So thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Sarah. And I do appreciate your audience and everything that you have been a part of. And, you know, for those that listen to this, you know, we were talking offsite or prior to coming on to the show about just a lot of things going on, you know, and where I'm at today. Everybody that has been paying attention to everything that's been happening to our country clearly sees the direction that we're heading. I mean, we're heading toward a socialist takeover of our political system. And that's very, very real. There are very real people behind it. It's not just here in this country. It is a new direction for the world. You know, this whole new world order, and it's led by elements within the World Economic Forum. These are very, very serious things. And people don't have to believe me. They can go look up the World Economic Forum out of Davos, Switzerland, and Klaus Schwab, and Yuval Noah Harari, and all these are real people. And listen to the things that they talk about. You know, everybody from Bill Gates to George Soros to Klaus Schwab and various sorts.
So, they're very open about it.
They used to hide. I mean, people don't know, but the World Economic Forum was created in the early 70s by Schwab. And he has a set of eight principles that he has adhered to. He's written a book called The Great Reset. Most people don't know, but the COVID is probably one of the biggest psyops that we have ever had targeting the world and certainly the American people. And most people don't know, but the COVID vaccine was created in, was patented in 2015, 2015. And remember, you know, everybody said, oh, this new thing that came out in 2019, 2020 timeframe. And it was patented back, the vaccine was patented back in 2015. So there's a lot to this, to where we are today. And I know we're going to talk a little bit about this, you know, Michael Flynn's Holy War, this PBS Frontline. We'll touch on that a little bit. I want to really make sure that there's three things that do come out. And then you know, we can go through a whole range of things. I've been paying very close attention to this emerging war in Europe.
Okay. Right. Sarah, I was going to talk to you about that.
So there's this emerging war in Europe. The 101st Airborne Division, a task force from the 101st, just replaced the task force from the 82nd. This is a different type of element, different type of combat element. On the they're in Romania, and that's about 4,700, led by a brigadier general, task force commander, with a different set of capabilities over in Eastern Europe for the United States of America. And you have serious and senior military, former military leaders who are on the mainstream media talking about forming a multinational task force, that we don't need NATO to fight Russia. We can form a multinational task force. And you know some of these people, some of these commanders, these former leaders, military leaders I'm talking about. It's very dangerous talk. We have people talking about limited nuclear strikes, that we can actually have these. Really, really dangerous talk. Bad leaders will make bad decisions. And we are moving into a war in Europe that we don't need. And we don't need to lose one American life over it. And frankly, the people in Europe don't want anything to do with it. That's sort of that side of the world. And you know, before you tag me on any questions on that, jump to China. And if anybody hasn't seen the Chinese change of leadership and how they do it, they, you know, I just, you know, I had it immediately sent to me, the number two of China, Chinese Communist Party, that the way that they, that Xi walked out, you know, President Hu, right. The way he had him walked out, it's like, it's akin to a public execution in China. Okay. So it's not, that was not a, I mean, the way their culture, the way that they operate, and anybody that watches it, and I watched the whole thing from start to end, and I saw the wider screen because I saw the initial thing before it was censored by China, which Chinese let it out. They made sure that, that this was going to be publicly seen. So this puts Xi into a dictator, godlike role. And he has cleared the decks for any decisions that he needs to make. And they are now in a place where they have put some rules out where Xi can now take the nation of China to war, much different. They used to talk about, you know, the enduring peace. And so his latest speech was had a different tone. So that's two parts of the world. And then one little other element strategically, geostrategically, is Iran. And Iran, which is another place that is near and dear to your heart. You've had a lot of time in both theaters of war with Afghanistan and Iraq. Iran is probably weeks away from imploding. And if there was a place where I would do psyops and you know, and subversion and covert operations from a U.S. perspective, if I were in the administration, I would, you know, I'd be recommending that we get involved in those kinds of things, because if Iran were to implode and the rise of particularly women in Iran, it would be really something. It's actually an enlightened movement inside of Iran who are sick and tired of having their having a boot put on their throats of freedom for many of the young people of Iran, because Iran, actually, one of the funny things about Iran is it still is relatively educated society because of the previous administrations,
right,
in Iran. So anyways, that's sort of a quick down and dirty geostrategic view, and I'll address anything.
Well, I think you brought up three very, very important topics for me, and also the fourth, I think, being to this new PBS special on you. But I want to start with Iran, because Iran, I agree with you. This would be an area, I would think, that the State Department and the United States government should have an intense focus on. It would break the backbone of the Iranian regime right now. And I always say, if Iran or any part of the world, I mean, it's particularly in nations where women are treated so badly, where women are such second-class citizens, I think the rise of women in Iran...
Yeah, they're actually treated, women in that society, as it stands today, are treated probably on par with the animals, you know?
And, correct.
And they are sick of it, and they're strong women, and they're very strong, and particularly young women, who they have had a... They have had a taste of via social media and via very effective means to get information into the country by, frankly, a lot of people, a lot of hardworking people. And they've had that taste, and they know that they should not stand for this, like I call it, a boot on the throat of freedom.
Yeah, but you were the one. And one of the very few people, and I, for people that, you know, don't know a lot about the history of General Flynn, I can't imagine you don't. I imagine most of you who are listening to this do. But it was, you worked under the Obama administration. You were very open when you went to President Trump. And I knew you while you were under the Obama administration when I covered mm-hmm. the war in Afghanistan and Iraq, and always had a great working relationship with you. I thought, here's a general who truly cares about his people. Here's a general who truly understands this part of the world. And you made it very clear when you were with President Trump, I think to the chagrin of the former Obama administration and all of their cronies like Brennan and everybody else, that Iran needed to be the focus. There could be no deal with Iran, no nuclear deal with Iran. It needed to be dismantled. That needed to be pushed aside. The JCPOA deal was wrong. And it disaster. Was just pushing Iran towards nuclear capabilities that we would never be able to contend with. Talk about that and how that has affected you, because I truly believe that your fight against Iran was part of the battle that you had with the former administration officials. I don't think the Biden administration is going to move on this.
Absolutely. So no, they're not. In fact, most people don't know, but the negotiations ongoing about the new Iran deal under the Biden administration, the negotiations that are taking place in Europe, and I believe they're taking place in Brussels, the lead negotiator coordinating both the Iranian side and the U.S. side is a Russian. Okay. Is from Russia. So most people don't know that. So it's insane with all this rhetoric about Russia and Ukraine, and yet here we are working with the Russians to negotiate a deal with the Iranians. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. So yeah, in my latter days, I was really trying to expose, not the Obama administration, I was trying to expose the rise of radical Islamism around the world. And frankly, not only in the Middle East, but in Africa. And the Obama administration's, you know, their talking points were, Bin Laden is dead and Al-Qaeda is on the run, which was the furthest thing from the truth. And one particular open hearing that I was part of with the, I believe it was the Senate and in 2014 timeframe, you know, when I was asked the question, you know, essentially is Al-Qaeda dead and are they on the run? I said, no, the rise is increasing. They are growing, and they're in about 26 countries right now. So, and the administration didn't like that. The other thing I was very adamant about while still in uniform was we should not be negotiating with Iran. And so, you know, I was asked to leave my role as the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency and the senior military intelligence officer for the Department of Defense at the time. And just as a sidebar, most people don't know, but Obama appointed me twice to two very important roles, one as the Assistant Director of National Intelligence, and then the second was the Director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, which is the second, you know, which is one of the largest intelligence agencies in the world. So they just didn't want to hear the truth, and they really wanted to shape talking points, and you just can't do that, you know, particularly as a military officer and having my you know, my service in combat was almost 5 years in combat, you know. So I mean my whole goal was always to try to save lives, right? Get intelligence down to the lowest level, and I think that's how our paths crossed, really, was you know, everything from the drug cartels in Mexico to the wars in the Middle East. So the administration didn't like that, the Obama administration. Then when I got out, I was still adamantly against an Iranian nuclear deal, because the people of Iran, I mean, like 90% of the people of Iran want freedom. So for us to negotiate, and I think that there's a lot written about that, so I won't go into any details, but that's really the genesis of the Obama administration going after me, as I was now helping President, you know, candidate Trump become the president. And, you know, we brought a lot of veterans to his election in 2016, probably 16 million. So, of course, then Obama didn't want me to work with Trump. And then, you know, the sort of history has unraveled on the Obama administration, because they really did come after me. And then, so let's fast forward to this Michael Flynn's holy war, because I really do think that this is sort of the continuation of somebody who they fear, which is this, the guy that your audience is listening to.
Mike, they're saying out there, I mean, the most terrific things you can imagine. Yeah. You have served your country with distinction. You're a true patriot. Everybody who I know who has served with you or under you has just been said exemplary things about you. I remember being in Afghanistan, hearing the guys on the, you know, in the battlefield talk about you. Oh, Flynn was here. He's one of the few generals that actually cares about us. He actually shows up. He actually knows what we're going through. This is not what this administration has done. Yeah. You are in the DIA. What has happened to President Trump, what has happened to you, what has happened to people surrounding President Trump since, and, you know, even back then, appears to be a disinformation warfare campaign against you and everyone else, to the point where, I mean, they're using tactics that we use against an enemy now against our own leaders people.
So a couple of things. And thank you so much for having me. Honestly, I really, really appreciate it. And I know it's hard to pin me down, but I'm getting ready to come out with another document, and I call it A Citizen's Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare. A Citizen's Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare. And I wrote it, co-wrote it with a sergeant by the name of Boone Cutler, who was a PSYOP, Psychological Operations, Special Operations Forces trained soldier. And we'll have it out here probably in another week. And it's basically a layman's guide to what it is that we're facing, this idea of this fifth generation warfare, you know, and what type of war that we are in. You know, when they talk about misinformation, disinformation, I mean, I always say that, you know, when people ask me, why do they come after you so hard? Because people in the media, particularly the corporate, you know, the fake news, corporate media, they fear what they cannot control. And they can't control people like Donald Trump. They can't control people like me. You know, after all of the investigation and all this craziness that I went through, you know, and having to go take my family and I through everything, you know, at the end of the day, the Department of Justice, they dismissed my case because there was no crime committed and for egregious government misconduct. And even after all that, I'll come out even more with more stuff in the future here, in the very near future. They couldn't even find an unpaid parking ticket for me. I mean, that's how it's like, there was just nothing. So, you know, people ask me, why'd you plead guilty? Well, I'll tell you what, when you're in a situation that I was in at the time, it was a very, very strategic, calculated decision. And my wife and I made it. And you've met Lori, my wife. Right. My wife and I made it. Great. And there's more to that answer, but I will, you know, I'll describe that, you know, at a different time. But at the end of the day, they are still attacking us. I mean, you're looking at, and your audience is looking at, one of the most clickbaited names in the world is General Michael Flynn for like the last 5-6 years. And for a couple of those years, I was in the top 2-3 of the most Googled name in the world, because they wanted to attack this guy, Flynn, who clearly understands the national security arena, clearly understands the security state of the United States of America, has a very fine-tooth grasp of the geostrategic landscape of the world. And there's one thing that they know, and in a way, you said this during the whole persecution about the bodies being buried, right? That's a.
I was just thinking that term.
Yeah, well, you coined that term, and you were right. But the way I define it is, I know the structure and the organization and the operational procedures of our government. Okay, I know them very well. Why? Because I studied them. This is my thing, right? I'm a strategist by nature. I have lots of tactical experiences in the military, but over my second half of my career, I really got into the strategic underpinnings of warfare, and I continued to deploy to war. And I really was at very, very senior levels where I observed, finally, you know, and I mean fine-tooth comb observed, the inner workings and the decision-making of not only the White House and the national security apparatus, but also how the intelligence community really does lie to the American people. I mean, they really do. They really do. And so I always understood that. And, you know, because there's decisions that need to be made that are political. If it's for the good of the country and for the good of the future of the American people and the future of our country, you know, I can absorb it, synthesize it, better understand it, but it still needs to be, but we still need to be honest with the American people, because our government is a republic or a consent of the governed. There now have been, over the last 5-6 years, Sarah, with the rise of Trump, right? And a guy who they do not want, the establishment does not want him. They didn't want people like me because we're not establishment. I'm not an establishment guy. And they were going to be usurped, right? We were going to undercut the establishment's role that they wanted to try to achieve and take this country toward. One of the things that an example that I use, had I stayed, and I've spoken to, you know, the president about this, President Trump, but had I stayed in the White House, the Mueller investigation would never have occurred. And I think that people need to understand that. Had I stayed as a national security advisor, all FISA issues, anything FISA related, that particularly terrorist related or foreign national related, comes through the national security advisor. So all the stuff on Carter Page, they'd have never gotten it through me. And frankly, mm-hmm. I already knew what was happening inside the FBI. I knew it was happening inside the CIA. I knew it was happening inside the State Department. Never mind the DOD. So I had, and particularly in the National Security Council.
Right.
So I knew these things, and that was why Obama needed to get rid of me right away. And you know, there was some deception, and there was some lying, and there was some deceit, both internally and externally. So, you know, maybe for another time, I'll get into that. That's a
show.
You know where I was going to go with that.
Yeah. And I won't ask you that question right now. It's a place I do want to go to with you in the future.
And we will. Let's talk about ahead, right? Moving ahead, because we're in a really interesting time, and your audience is a switched on audience, or smart, because you're smart and you bring across some issues that affect us, right? And so where we're going now in these next couple of weeks with this upcoming election, I actually look at this election as probably number one, head and shoulders above all other elections in our nation's history. And the reason why is because we are having the oxygen sucked out of our constitutional republic by an overreaching federal government. And that federal government is taking away all of our rights. I mean, you know, the Michael Flynn's holy war, the tagging of Christian nationalism.
I want to go right there. People are terrified now. I've never seen this before in America, where people don't even want to get on the phone because they're afraid they're being listened to. Right. Yeah. We're frightened of the government. Yeah. We saw what happened. Steve Bannon spending 4 months in prison. People are worried that their phone records, that their text messages are being looked at, that they could possibly be ensnared in this big web of the government's, idea of what is domestic terrorism. you have come up before. I know I've heard this, you know, well, what constitutes a domestic terrorist? You've seen the lies and the allegations. Let's talk about that, because now PBS's title, quote unquote, this holy war, Michael Flynn's holy war, is assuming yeah. that you're bringing this war to America. It's a to me, it's a disgrace. It's a disgraceful title, the way that they're handling
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things. You know, the opposite, when they put this tagline out of Christian National, I always say, I was born and raised, we were Democrats our whole lives, right? I'm an Irish Catholic kid. I believe I'm a follower of Jesus, right? I mean, as a Catholic, I'm practicing Catholic. So, you know, it's a ridiculous term, but they use that. You know, the opposite of a Christian nationalist is a atheistic globalist. So, you know, I mean, they have these lines like the phrase election denier. And I have this on good authority. So when they say you're an election denier, Flynn, or they're throwing that out to anybody who's in the America First camp running for office anywhere in the country, right? You're an election denier. And I have in this a good authority from a really good Democratic source in the party that what they did was they had a debate about, well, what's the message we want? And when you use the phrase Holocaust denier, that was always a very ugly thing to be tagged. Like if you denied that the Holocaust occurred,
right.
It was incredible. I mean, there's no denying it. I've been to Dachau and I've been to Auschwitz to visit both of those places. And it's horrific. I mean, it's just incredible. But that phrase Holocaust denier, if you were tagged with that. So what they did was they took that and they said, ooh, let's put election denier. So they're using it. So now it's this ugly term. You're an election denier, just like tagging you as a Christian nationalist. You know, the other day I was asked by a mainstream media, and we bring, you know, in our Reawaken America tour, we bring in all kinds of people, and then we bring in the mainstream media. We invite everybody, and they're saying, well, all the people that you're supporting and you're endorsing on in your political efforts are all Christians. No, they're not. There's a lot of people with different colors, different backgrounds, different religions. What they do is they want to tag us with these things. And we have got to be on the offensive. I'm fearless about being a Catholic kid. I'm fearless about being a patriot. I'm fearless about being an American. I'm fearless about what we are. In fact, in my book, The Field of Fight, I talk about our country being built on a set of Judeo-Christian principles and values. And we, the American people, we should be fearless about that, about who we are as Americans, right? I don't care. You know, with the freedoms, the very First Amendment, right? The very first freedom in the First Amendment is freedom of religion. And when you read the writings of our founders, it's not about freedom of Christianity or freedom of Judaism. It's not freedom of being a Catholic. It's freedom of conscience. It's an ability to be able to believe in whatever you want to believe in. If you want to believe that the moon is made out of cheese and that's your higher being, fine. You know, I don't care. But what I want people to understand is that we have to believe in our country. We have to believe in our country.
But Mike, the right. tough part is this. We've been following the stories. I have people coming up to me at airports, wherever I travel. They're saying, Sarah, thank you so much for all the work you guys have done. We see what's happened to President Trump. We've seen what happened to Lieutenant General Mike Flynn. We've seen what happened here and there. But nobody is holding anybody accountable. The Department of Justice, yeah. which should be the ultimate authority, should be blinded. The justice should be blind. America should be this balance of power.
Okay, so let me address that, because this is really, our nation is a nation of laws, okay? And the rule of law for your audience and anybody that you want to address outside of your audience, the rule of law in this country is at grave risk. The department, I call it the Department of Justice. And if there's one guy that knows the structure, the organization, and the inner workings of the Department of Justice, it's Mike Flynn. I know this organization very well, and I've studied it. Why? Because I spent 4 years being persecuted by it, and I knew that eventually I was going to beat it, because I knew that there was nothing there that they really had, and they were, but timing-wise, I had to make the decisions that I made. Again, another discussion for another day. But in Washington, D.C., The Attorney General's office in Washington, D.C., the Assistant Attorney General for the District of Columbia, is the largest part of the Department of Justice. They probably have, in fact, today, they probably have 400 to 500 people that work in there. That's where the National Security Division is. That's where, you know, there's a couple of other divisions within the, and these only exist in Washington, D.C. So the Washington, D.C. office of the Department of Justice, and this is really when you think, when I'll just use to throw a name out there. This is where Eric Holder got his spurs, right? Mm-hmm. Was as the AAG in Washington, D.C. during the Clinton administration. And then he became, you know, Obama's wingman under the Obama administration as the Attorney General. And, you know, so that particular Attorney General's office is it's vitally important to everything that's happening. Our Department of Justice, and I facetiously say, I call it the Department of Just Us, because there is no, right now, people in this country, regular old Americans, are frightened that somebody's going to come. If you were on, you know, in January 6th, one of the 3 million people that showed up on January 6th, you know, people are frightened that the FBI is going to knock on their door, right? Because, and do something and take them away or take their son or daughter away. It's insane. The Department of Justice right now is so politically motivated, and they are attacking political enemies. Okay. That's what's happening out of Washington, D.C., because they can, because they own the levers of power. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are not in charge of this government. I mean, I just watched a clip of Joe Biden at the DNC today saying how bad Trump's economy was. I mean, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, I'll say it again, they are not in charge of anything. The person that's running the White House on a day in and day out basis is Susan Rice. And I hope she's watching this.
Thank you.
She knows it. She's responsible for, she's the domestic advisor, national security advisor to the President of the United States by appointment, not confirmed, because she doesn't need to be confirmed by the Senate. She's in there by appointment. She's been in there since day one. All executive orders, I guarantee she is administering to all executive orders. You know, I know these things. I mean, this is what we're up against. When people that are inclined toward socialism or Marxism, who believe in the Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization. So you addressed accountability. You asked, why no accountability? Why no accountability? Because there's nobody that's going to hold these people accountable.
Right.
You know, we're going after moms who are defending their children at school boards. And thank God we've got Moms for America and Women Fighting for America and Moms Fighting for Liberty. Those are three organizations in our country, and we have this overturning of school boards and everybody now knows about critical race theory. So what did the Democrats do? They change the language, and they now call it social emotional learning, right? So we have lots of school boards being turned over in this country. There's no accountability, and there will be no accountability by this Department of Justice against people like, you know, Comey, McCabe, Strzok, Page, Clinton, none of it. It's not going to happen. So people should right now get over it. And it's sad, and it's unjust.
I agree.
But that's what we're up against. So what's the answer going forward? This, as I said, this, and I'm on my soapbox, but right now we have an election that is so consequential. And if we don't give ourselves breathing space, and I'm not a big fan of the Republican Party. I'm not. But I am. I have generally conservative views. Remember, I grew up as a Democratic kid in a Democratic family, but we were always pro-life, pro-family, pro-small business, because we were, I'm a different generation. I'm a generation ahead of you. And, you know, and in fact, when I ran with Donald Trump during the 2016 campaign, and he considered me for vice president, In late June of 2016, prior to the I was one of the final four guys. I was a Democrat. You know, he didn't care. He didn't really care about my political ideology. He wanted to know, what did I believe in? And what I believed in was the exact same kinds of things that he believed in. I am one of these people that's saying, look, if we don't give ourselves some breathing space, and how do we get breathing space? We show up in overwhelming numbers and we vote. And I am at the such tactical level in my own county, where I volunteered. My wife and I went to poll worker training the other night. Okay, last, I think, Wednesday night.
You know, so we're going to go be poll workers. That's awesome. Yeah, I want everyone to do that.
Poll workers at our precinct. Yeah. I mean, it took about an hour to go through the training. It's funny. The guy that did the training, he was a former 101st soldier. Now he's in the GOP. We're in Florida. I mean, so we went through the training, learned a lot. We're going to go volunteer and go be poll workers and go be observers and all that. That's what people need to do. One stat on that, I learned when I was up in Pennsylvania these last couple of days, in 2020, the poll work, this is how we get justice. We, the people, get involved because it's consent of the government. Right. So we get justice by getting involved. So I just learned in Pennsylvania through audit the vote PA.com, I think is what it is, audit the vote.com. But in the 2020 election, there was around, I think the number was like 200 to 300 poll watchers for the GOP statewide. That's a shame. Okay. That's not a good thing. But for this vote, the midterm, only 2 years later, by the great work of grassroots people, they now have 6,000 poll workers for the Republican side of the equation. That's a big deal. So they went from a couple hundred to 6,000. And I'm telling you, it's not because of the GOP. And that's sad. And I'm sorry that I have to say that, but I say it because that's the truth. It's from grassroots people like me telling people local action equals a national impact. Get involved in your communities like you've never been involved in before. You know, stand up, step up, and speak up for your local area. Because I look at myself and I'm looking at, you know, Sarah Carter and this great journalist, I mean, who you have put your life on the line physically and emotionally. And I know that. That's how we first met, because you may not remember, but I do. You had just come out of working with the cartels down in Mexico, right? This is years ago.
Yeah, remember it.
So we have this platform, a national platform. And so we do what we can to get the word out, to really save this country, because we're at a precipice of moving towards a different way of life. It's either a road towards socialism or the continued experiment in democracy. And we're there. And this election is that fork in the road. What we have to do is we have to get involved. Every single American has got to show up. That's how we're going to overcome this. And that's my sort of message to you. Show up, people. And no more excuses. No excuses like, well, I don't do that political thing. Well, then you don't have an excuse. So no excuses, show up.
That's it. So despite the past, so despite what people feel, so despite, you know, people who are angry with what they feel happened in the past, in the past election, you're saying what I'm saying, General, get out there, vote. Our founding fathers established an amazing nation. And we got to get involved. And if that means we have to volunteer at the polls, if that means we have to get out there and knock door to door and beat Stacey Abrams, you know, her campaign to get people to mail in votes. If we have to do that, then we have to do that. That's really the only way to ensure that our nation stays peaceful. Yeah. It continues. We move forward and we can put the right people in office. General Flynn, thank you so much for being a part of the show. I know I kept you longer than I expected. I have so many questions for you. I could talk to you. Right. Literally, we could do
it. It's a good conversation. I love your audience. I love you. I love you. I mean, you are one of the stalwart journalists of our time. And, you know, if there's somebody out there, then that's why, and I mean it. I want you to make sure that your audience hears this, because there's very few people who are actual journalists and who actually have, you know, sort of been there, done that. You don't care, you know, what side of the issue, you will report it. And that's so important for our country, because the media is an arm of our, you know, nation. And, you know, and it has gotten a pass for lying, for fake news, right? So we'll definitely come back on. We'll talk about other things. And if people want to, you know, hear more about what I'm out there doing, you can go to generalflynn.com and look me up. I'm very, very open, very transparent. So thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. The feeling is mutual. And please say hello to your family for me. You guys are true American patriots. And you really have, you really given me the strength, and I think so many other people the strength, to keep up the good fight and fight for our nation. So thank you for everything. Okay, that's all for now. I will bring Lieutenant General Flynn back on the show. We'll focus on specific topics the next time I bring him on. Remember, folks, this is about you and me. This is about our nation. This is about fighting the good fight, right? About our founding fathers. I want you to follow me on Twitter at Sarah Carter DC and on Instagram at S Carter DC. God bless you. God bless our great nation. And God bless the great state of Texas.
Hey guys, we know there's so much going on in the news, but don't worry because we're here to talk about all the things. Biden continues to embarrass America by getting lost on stage and dozing off during interviews. And the January 6th committee wants millions more from us to continue their witch hunt when we have so many bigger issues. Hey, it's the Chicks from the Chicks on the Right podcast. Download and subscribe to our daily podcast to hear us pick apart and pick on the news of the day. Politics to pop culture, nobody's safe, but it's all fun. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.